The Randolph Caldecott Medal, given since 1938 for the most distinguished picture book published in America. During 1964, goes to Benny Montresor for his illustrations of May I Bring a Friend? Mr. Montresor, for your refreshingly original drawing, your dramatic and childlike interpretation, for the sweep and sparkle of the brilliant colors in your accompaniment to Beatrice de Reynier's story, May I Bring a Friend? I now present to you on behalf of the members of the Children's Services Division of the American Library Association, the Randolph Caldecott Medal for the most distinguished picture book for children published during 1964.
Before to start, I must say I feel very pompous. And this is probably the most difficult moment of my life. I'm very happy, but the idea to be here and reading all this I wrote for in 1 week, especially after such a delicious dinner, it makes me very uncomfortable. Besides, I had to rehearse it because I didn't trust my English. And so I called up some friends of mine from Broadway. I said, come and to help me. And so I had to go through for 1 week, open my mouth and sunshine. I tape it, and then I listen myself, and I found myself very boring. This is so. I will try to do my best and have a good time. I will begin by saying thank you with all my heart for this wonderful prize. You have given me the prize. In return, you have won my love. This is the simple truth, and I feel that I love all of you. I must say now, I love you even more. I spent a few days with you, with some of you, not with all. I adore you all very much. I met wonderful real people, dedicated people, and lovable people. So I can go on with my... After the official announcement of the prize, some Italian journalists came to see me. Do you know how I described this prize? I said, it is the Nobel Prize of the children's books. This is what I think, and you can imagine my feeling at having such an honor. And now, because I spoke of love, I must also mention Beatrice de Reynier. Beatrice is one of my oldest American friends. Do you know what they say in Italy when two people are crazy about each other? Beatrice, your husband is not here tonight. They are two bodies and one soul. The amazing thing is that Beatrice and I are still two bodies and one soul even after having worked together. I want also to thank all those who have worked with me, especially Jean Carr, with whom I had the lovely experience of doing this book, and to Jeannie Fowler, with whom I have worked from the beginning. For me, the best way to thank them is to say here that they always have given me free rein. Now, the only things missing after all this and this marvelous chance to talk to you is to have 48 hours a day to devote to my work. When people asked if I'm happy or unhappy, I answered that these are old-fashioned questions. My only problem is now to invent a day 48 hours long in order to have enough time to put on paper the thousands of things that fill my head. There is no solution to the problems, of course, so at least for now, let's put it aside. Now, sit back and get ready to listen to my talk with great patience. You will need it. You know how much Italians like to talk. I recall in 1960, I had just arrived in this country, somebody asked me, "Would you like to do children's books?" "Yes," was my quick reply. I must admit, I didn't exactly know what they were. As a child, I had never owned one. And besides, at that time in Italy, there was only one book for children, and that was Pinocchio. Today, there may be a few more. Still, the possibility of being involved in this new work seemed completely natural to me. I felt quite simply that it would be a continuation of the things I had been doing all my life. As a child, I was passionately and constantly involved in my own puppet theater. I searched out the most improbable objects, the most colorful materials, the most glittering piece of metal, and I put them all together in my little stage to give shape to something with my head. Was it an image? Thousands of unconnected images that will cross my fancy. But aren't this what all children's minds are filled with? Because I was an Italian child, the inspiration for my images very often came from what I saw in the church or around the church. In Italy, as everybody knows, there is a saint to celebrate each and every day of the year. But besides this, there are special saints with special celebrations. And on this occasion, the churches are adorned in particular spectacular way. Flowers, angels, halos, clouds, gilt, velvet, damask. And then the scent of the incense and of the flowers. And then the music of the organ, resounding under arches and cupolas. How could this resplendent mise-en-scene fail to touch the imagination of a child? So it happened very often that I imagined myself protected under the opulent gold and silver mantle of the Madonna, or in a more cheerful moment, traveling through the sky on the back of the Holy Spirit, something similar to what happened in the last page of my Witches of Venice. And when I came back to Earth, I rushed home to my puppet theater, which was ready to be filled with all those images. And they fit perfectly into it. It was the ideal place for them to come alive. Interesting enough, the theater in Italy was born in the churches, and this grand, resplendent relationship between theater and church has always existed in my native country. I love all this very much. This is the reason why, when after such a long time, and so far from my little puppet theater, I was asked, "Would you like to do children's books?" The answer, yes, seemed so natural to me. I felt I could find once more the little theater of my childhood, and I could again fill it with all the fancies that came into my head.
I need some water.
Of course, between that old little theater and the new little theaters, this time made of pages, there were many others. In the years between, I spent 10 years as costume and set designer for the cinema. But in films, the designer usually doesn't count much. I always felt, being a designer and not a director, that there wasn't enough room for me to express myself completely. I always had to leave too much of myself locked inside me. For this reason, I left the films, even if I was making a lot of money. And now my theater work is primarily in operas and ballet or theater shows with music. Music on the stage gives me the inspiration to create images with colors, lighting, action, and music. It is this that I found most exciting about working in the theater. Exactly the same thing happened when I work on a children's book. For me, there is no difference between these two things, in the methods, in the aims, in the results. The blank page is like an empty stage that must be filled with scenes, costumes, movement, and theatrical crescendo. And the words and the colors become the music. People have already observed this. They said that as each scene of The Last Savage appeared on the Metropolitan stage, it was like looking through the page of a children's book. On the other end, upon looking at my books, they have the feeling that they are sitting through a theatrical spectacle. The difference between working in the theater and on a book is that in the theater, one is surrounded by hundreds of temperamental personalities. Working on a book, I have only one temperamental personality to deal with myself, who, if nothing else, is much more restful to be with. Usually, editors are very, very nice people. So my life has been a continual going on and off stages of various sizes and types. But at this time, I can say that I've at the last found my own real definitive stage on which I feel I can best express myself. And it is about this wonderful discovery that I want to talk to you tonight. My stage is called Picture Book. I didn't invent it, I know this, but I feel that I may have discovered something special about it. You cannot imagine how much this excites me. I feel like very much to be Cristoforo Colombo. Another Italian there. What is a picture book? A kind of book with many illustrations, people think. A kind of book with too many illustrations, the critics often write. In reviewing picture books, they give all the space to the text, leaving the last line to the illustrations. Too many illustrations and too few words is the complaint I most often see. This, in other words, means that it is a book that does not nourish, and once quickly gone through can be laid down for always. Usually, one thinks, words demand higher intellectual effort than drawings. Reading a book develops the mind. Looking at a book is just at past time. Even the majority of editors, when working in a picture book, place all their interest, at least three-quarters of their interest on the text. The text is everything. A book is made up of words. This idea can be true for a certain type of picture book. They are, for example, picture books that are stories with illustrations, or picture books that are least worth to learn, where the task is made pleasanter and easier by adding a visual translation of the words. These are books that are served by the illustration in a peripheral didactic way. These are not the picture books I call my stage, the picture book I intend to talk about. For me, a picture book is book whose content is expressed through its images, because this is the true nature of this kind of book. And this is the fact I found most exciting. I think that very little exists so far in this field, and it is a feeling which little has been explored. The thing that we can discover it may add something very important to the history of the books. I'm old enough to remember the accusation they used to hear at the cinema. Cinema is not art because, unlike the theater, it does not express its content by means of words. But who worries about this any longer? We all know that the cinema is based on images, not words. It is these visual images that give this new art its reason for being. Today, who can say a film makes audience lazy because it is made of visual images, or a film is intellectually inferior to a book or a play? I'm speaking of serious film. For example, Fellini's 8½, I believe, is one of the most important artistic contributions of our time. Personally, I know that he told me with force and great beauty things about myself and my time that I hadn't found in any book or play. Our is a visual time. It is a time of great and fleeting vision because it's a time of speed. One rushes, speaking less and less. It is the image that represents this best, and that it is the image to which we most naturally respond. I have the impression that words as an art form will give us less and less, because we are becoming more and more visually oriented. The idea of the visual book, the book to look at, is an idea of today, and even more tomorrow. Why, by the way, do you think television exists? We create it, and so it is enough to say it expresses us. We don't know yet if it is a new art form. Perhaps it is too soon even to ask. But you think, for instance, that when painting began, the making of art was a consideration? Do you think Cimabue, Giotto, etc., were painting because they wanted to make art? Certainly not. They were painted to make something that would serve a purpose. They painted Madonnas for believers who wanted to worship before them. That it was an art was a later consideration. But still, there are people who feel that the visual image is inferior to the idea presented in words. What is the reason for this recreance to grant a respectable place to the visual images? It is easy to give an answer. The world is the symbol of the adult world, which can speak and therefore must think. The image is a symbol of an infantile world, which does not speak and therefore seems not to think. Even civilization, in their emphasis, expressed themselves graphically, and only after growth made extensive use of words. I'm sure that these two symbols condition our judgment. We hear the expression of this judgment in many places. I hear the theater criticized because it is too much to see and not enough to hear. But what is wrong about this? Think for a moment about the Commedia dell'arte. In the Commedia dell'arte, the text barely existed. Nearly everything was action, pantomime, ballet, sets, mechanical tricks, costume, music. Basically, everything was visual. And wasn't that one of the most legendary, inventive periods of the history of the theater? Returning to the book and the idea of my kind of picture book, someone could say, books were invented to be filled with words. Certainly, but the reason for their invention was not to fill them up with words, but to use them to tell something. And who doesn't know that before the time of books, when something had to be told, artists and sculptors were called, not writers. They filled walls and walls with images that told stories, wonderful stories. And all of this was art and the most sublime level. It was also visual images conveying ideas, concepts, and adventures of the imagination. Having had the good fortune to be born in Italy, this kind of art was one of my first experiences, the deepest and the most formative, even if at that time I didn't know. I grew up seeing stories on the walls of many palaces and churches, and I know well that they permeated my being even at the earliest age. I know they made me become what I am. In this way, the picture book of which I am speaking was invented long before those favorite English illustrators of the 19th century created their books. For instance, in Rome, the Trajan Column, or the Life of Saint Francis of Giotto's Assisi frescoes, are real examples of true picture books. They were true picture books created for people who didn't know how to read, not even a word. No mother could help her child then, as she would today, because she too couldn't read. But just imagine the wonder and the magic those pictures must have instilled in the people they were created for, and what wonder and magic is instilled by them today in people who can read, even in five languages. The important point is this. The story told with picture books has a language all its own, the visual language. And therefore, it is with this language that the picture book must express itself. And it is in this direction that I will move with my work. This is the result of discoveries made during these first few years of working on children's books. But as you know now, it is also the result of an extinct format by a long time and many experiences, which have made me conscious of the necessity and the beauty of expressing oneself in images. Some time ago, at the Rizzoli International Bookstore in New York, there was a party for children to celebrate this year Newbery Caldecott Prizes. For the occasion, we dressed actors as bullfighter and as a king and queen. During the party, a young child exclaimed to the king, "Do you know something? I never met a real king before." And the little boy stood there, wide-eyed and open-mouthed. Certainly, this will remain for that child as one of his most important experiences. Santa Claus can be met at every street corner, but a real king is not so easy to meet. More or less, in the same period, I was on the radio speaking with another young child. I asked him what he liked best about my illustrations for "May I Bring a Friend." He answered, "The pink elephant." I asked why. Because before that, I never saw a pink elephant. So, you see, characters never seen before, animals never seen before. As always, children, in their direct and candid way, give us the answer. I just told today to some of you I met, I said, we can learn everything for the children, not to teach them, because there are so many things to teach us. So it is an invitation to produce the never seen before, to look for the new, to hold oneself open to all possibilities, because possibility is a door to poetry. We have to be open to this marvelous adventure of book made of images, because it has already existed for a long time, and because now people are searching for it more than ever. At this time, only one thing should occupy us: to work for images of the highest quality. Full, rich, and provocative images that carry the imagination to eyes that will be launching pads for new and always more daring discoveries. This without lamenting the using of less words. Happy instead, because working the children's field, we, more than anyone else, have the opportunity to use this wonderful invention of the picture book to bring us farther than any book has ever taken us before. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Benny Montresor. We are glad you have discovered picture books as a medium for your creative talent. Children have discovered "May I Bring a Friend," and they are loving it very much indeed.